Let's go. As this man, we'll find out more about how long he's been practicing law, but he is an old man. He and his old man get to share time together, kicking ass, taking names, helping people out. As David McDivitt, in the house for our legal segment, first of the year, and it's going to be a banner year. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Hey, Ross, it's great to be here.
Met you, I think we were rendezvoused once at a ski shop remote. Yo, that's when I realized that you had a rocking past.
That's in my soul, man.
Right?
I'm a poor musician, I'll tell you that.
That's great, man. It's always good to have rockers in the legal field.
Yeah.
And then tell us how you got started. How did you start working with your old man? At what age did you decide, I'm going to be a lawyer like that?
Well, you bet. So this is actually kind of funny because I'm not kidding. I used to really want to be a musician.
Really?
Not a journeyman musician. I wanted to be a rock and roll star. And that's how I used to say it. I'm like, I just skip kind of the journey to the top. I want to be at the top. I want to be the star. I want to be on stage.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I loved it.
So the music skills, were you going to be a front man, just a lead singer? Do you have some...
Guitar, piano. Really? So, yeah, I grew up playing piano. I grew up playing classical piano.
I
aged three, I started taking piano lessons. And then traded the piano in for guitar about age 14. And then went to college, studied economics, which was not music.
Right.
I still kind of played with... some bands in college.
Okay.
And then more rhythm guitar, sometimes singing. But I was never talented enough to be the front man from a guitar. Like, I was never the lead guitarist.
What talent were you lacking to be the front man? What do you think?
A really good singing voice.
That doesn't stop a lot in the pop world there.
No, David. I know. And so what I learned a long time ago was if you turn the gain up on your amp, I mean, anything you play is going to sound pretty good. So I was the master of the distortion.
Genius.
Yeah, and then went to, I worked overseas for a few years. I did investment banking, which is, again, nothing to do with music, nothing to do with the law. And, I don't know how long, it's been a long time. I think I decided to go ahead and come back to America, go to law school. I graduated law school in 2006. And the whole time, when I went back to law school, I said, this is going to be an incubator period for me to actually really, truly now launch my music career. And that was my intention when I came back to America. I played in a band in law school, and again, not very good, and finally ended up committing to the law when I graduated law school, so I took the bar.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's a crazy story. A lot of people, start to be, try to be lawyers and realize what a difficult process, and screw it, I'm going to be a rock star.
Yeah, no, I went the other
very
way.
Opposite. Yeah. Very rare, it's opposite like that. That's an amazing one.
Yeah, so I still have, if you go to my house, I've got guitars hanging on the walls, and my little boy has an electric guitar now too. I don't play it. I get calluses on my fingers now, I'm sure, if I tried to pick it up again.
You need to get a bunch of, you need to find, well, I don't know how rare you are in the legal field, but if there's other like-minded lawyers out there, you need to start a band with nothing but lawyers.
No, there are. No. And Ross, there are, and they are really good. That's the thing. There are some groups with lawyers that get together and they
really?
Play. I mean, lawyers in this town are so talented. Yeah, I just enjoy the idea of being up on stage in front of people. So
that's great.
And leather pants. My dad tells the story. I used to have these leather pants when I lived in London. This is the early 2000s.
Wait, so you actually own leather pants at one point in your life?
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
that is awesome.
Do you remember?
Not too many lawyers can say that. I don't think
there was. So when I was in London, these guys the investment bankers I worked with—they're all pretty wealthy guys—and they made a lot of money. They bought really expensive leather pants. Well, I came back to America. I said, yeah, I got to get some leather pants. I never bought them in England. I never had the money. There was, I don't know if it's still there, but Wilson's Leather. Do you remember Wilson's Leather at the Citadel Mall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went in there.
In the mall.
And I went and bought the one pair of black leather trousers for men that they had.
From the Jim Morrison collection.
Yes, exactly. And I wore those throughout law school. And then I'll never forget my, last semester of law school, we had a big performance at the Fox Theater. In Boulder, and I had my leather pants on. I had one of those sleeveless T-shirts, and I had long hair at the time. And my dad said he hopes he never sees me looking like that again.
Wow! Yeah. And the rest, as they say,
is history.
Is history. Yeah. How cool is that?
So yes, started working. I graduated law school about 14 years ago, and then worked for a little while as a public defender down in Pueblo. Lived down there, and then ended up joining with my mom and dad, who started McDivitt Law Firm,
long ago.
Long time ago.
I moved to town in 93, and I've never seen your old man was on the TV all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How cool.
People thought we were rich because my dad was on TV, and I said, you got to understand how advertising works.
Yeah, he spends all the money to get on TV.
He spends the money, yeah.
It's Dave McDivitt, our guest here today, and he'll be our guest every third Wednesday of the month throughout the entire year. And we'll open the phones if you got some questions in regards to legal problems that you're having. It's absolutely free. And then it's also free if people are too shy to to be a part of what we do here on Wednesdays if they want to call you and the gang, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's how we operate. We answer a lot of questions. You know, our practice is primarily personal injury, workers' compensation, and then, you know, defective medical devices, bad drugs. We help injured people. You know, we don't do a lot of contract work. We don't do, you know, wills and trusts or DUI defense, that kind of stuff, criminal law. But we know people who do. And we field a lot of questions every day from people who want to know, you know, who they can turn to. Just start by asking maybe if we can help. If we can't, we try to get them lined up with somebody who can.
There you go. And that's what we're here for. We got
and that's free.
A couple of questions launched through the website. You can go to the Law Frog question page. Citizen Eugene will conquer your question. Who else was this? Johnny? With an interesting one in regards to how he can get sweet, sweet vengeance, David. Everyone loves sweet vengeance, right?
It tastes so good.
What was the other story I wanted to ask you about? Oh, from the Freak News Today. Yeah. Is this like every lawyer's dream right here? A Delta flight was having an emergency landing, had to dump fuel, dumped it all over a bunch of kids at an elementary school playground. They're going to make a lot of money off of this, right? Those kids are going to go to school courtesy of Delta Air, right?
They might. Man, that's going to be... That is an interesting story,
it
too.
Really because, is.
And I don't understand why Delta dumped, why that flight dumped the fuel, but apparently there was some kind of an emergency.
Yeah, compressor fail or something like that. So circle back around. Usually the mindset is you don't dump fuel below 5,000 feet. I guess that enough altitude dissipates the fuel enough.
Right.
So, but they were too low. They're 2,600 feet. So they just basically just sprayed blocks
entire
communities of Los Angeles with jet fuel. Some 60 people had to be treated, and I'm sure more. I'm surprised. I mean, back in the day, when smoking was cool, someone would have lit that thing on fire by smoking their Camel, and everyone would have died.
It's like an entire community just goes up in blaze.
Right? Yeah. Almost like a Vietnam-era napalm attack or something. Really bizarre. So that's the dream job right there. Some lawyer right there this morning thanking his lucky stars.
Yeah, that's the thing. The aviation law is really unique, too. I'll tell you, I don't know. I hope for those kids' sakes they're not hurt that much.
Right.
Because that's the thing. And, you know, the law does, you kind of have to factor in somebody's injuries, too, and how significantly injured they were. But, you know, those kids, what a scary thing.
My child will never go to a playground again.
Well, I'll tell you, so have you ever seen La Bamba, the Richie Valens story?
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I saw that movie, and that, to me, I think probably my original fear of flying was born from that movie. Because I remember, I can't remember. The movie starts, there's a child on the playground. I don't know if it's Richie Valens or not, but there are these two planes ahead, like up in the sky, and they both collide into it. And I don't want to give this away, but I think it's in the first
spoiler
5 minutes.
Alert, no, from the
it's
movie
in the first
from
5 minutes. Ugh. But, and it's, Lou Diamond Phillips. And so I think as a kid, and he looks up, and he's on the playground, he's at school, having a great time, and they look up. And he sees these two planes collide,
right,
and all the debris falls down. And when I read that story yesterday about Delta Airlines, I thought of La Bamba.
It's funny how your mind is wired. We're figuring a lot about you, man. That's great, man. So stick around. Eugene and Johnny will take care of your questions. If you have any other questions you need conquered, we'll open up the rock lines later in the hour for you. Jump on board at 633-KILO if you'd like. Stick around. It's the Law Frog segment as we break the law. With McDivitt, 94.3 KILO. Let's see, weather-wise, we started the morning in the 30s. We dropped a bit, though. 28 now in the Springs, 28 in Pueblo, 26 in Denver, and cooler today by about 10 degrees. Only the mid-40s now as opposed to the 50s we got yesterday. So that's it. Less wind, though. What do you want? Now, up next, let's see here. We'll pick up the segment as we get all legal on you. If you need legal advice, we got you covered for free. Rock lines are open at 633-KILO, or you can do it toll-free. 800-727-KILO. Two questions, one involving a contract a guy signed to get his kid into karate. And now the kid no longer wants to be in karate. That's so parenting right there, right? That's so child right there. I want to do this, Daddy.
I don't want to do this, Daddy.
I don't want to do this anymore, Daddy. That and a guy who says he was wrongfully charged and jailed. He wants sweet revenge. Interesting. Who doesn't want revenge? I love revenge. Like a Tarantino movie next. So, Johnny, we got your question covered. Eugene, we got you. And anyone else wants to fire up a question, we got you. 633-KILO. And we'll keep the rock lines open for just another 20, 30 minutes. So that's it. The Law Firm. The rock and roll lawyer, Dave McDivitt in the house. Woo! Here at 94.3-KILO. 94.3-KILO. That's Guns N' Roses. Our guest today and our guest every third Wednesday of the month, David McDivitt.
Hello.
You could have been a member of Guns N' Roses. I had no idea.
No,
that's all you needed to get in the band was leather pants. And you had leather pants.
Have you seen, I've got this Single Dad's Guide to Life on Facebook, and I've got this video up where it's all about how to get your kids to bed at night, and I actually sing Sweet Child of Mine, which has been the lullaby I've been singing to my kids since they were just infants.
Man, you know what? It's getting more and more awesome. Every word that falls out of your mouth,
David.
You know
what's still not good?
What?
My voice.
It's all right. Let's get to some questions unanswered as of right now, but soon to be answered. If you've got questions, we'll get answers. We'll get to our email questions, which you can launch anytime you want. Even if you can't do it today, get us an email here over the next few weeks, and we'll conquer that one next time we talk. But we got... Who do we go? You want to go with Kevin first?
Who's Kevin?
Kevin with an interesting one. Get this. He's got a buddy who's sending bills and everything, using his address for basically everything. And Kevin wants to know, is he going to be responsible for some stuff? It's interesting because, like, yeah, someone signs up for a credit card using your address, does it come back to haunt you?
No, I mean, look, Kevin, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, so tell me a little bit about this. I mean, he's not your friend anymore, right?
Not really, no.
And what has he been putting down?
Yeah, what kind of stuff do you get?
Yeah, exactly. Where has he been?
I just got his W-2.
Okay.
And, you know, I've received, like, books from Walt Disney that I just returned, you know, little coupons here and there. Just junk mail, baby.
You ever get a 20% off home Bed Bath Beyond?
You save those. You save those. Let me tell you something.
Hold on to that for me, buddy.
That is gold. All right. Yeah. I have a folder of 20% Bed Bath Beyond coupons. I really do. So the W-2, let me ask you this. Has he asked you for his W-2?
I sent a picture of it to him and told him I'm returning it to sender.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you know, and not his mailbox.
No, of course not.
And you've told him several times to stop it, and what does he say in response to that?
He just says he won't use it anymore, but, you know, since then I stopped talking to him.
So. Okay, let me ask you, did he ever live at your house?
No, he's never lived at my house.
All right. Has he ever kind of crashed, like, just spent 2 weeks crashing on the couch?
No.
All right. Yeah, do you guys ever shower together?
I'm not going there,
once
man.
Once or twice in college. Here or there, Rob.
Right,
what,
Kevin,
what happens
funny.
In college stays in college, all right?
It's in college. You're all right.
No, but did you ever give him written permission, like in a text or anything, for him to go ahead and use your address?
No.
Okay. You kind of unilaterally, just on his own, decided to say he lives with...
Exactly.
Oh my gosh!
He's trying to steal Kevin's identity.
Yeah, I know. This sounds like the what is the talented Mr. Ripley?
Right. Well, is he going to be legally responsible for anything? I mean, because when you sign up for something, you got to use your social. There's more than just an address. They can't thumb you for
no. I mean, like, for example, if you're worried about, like, because I know you're worried that maybe somebody could put a lien on your house, or you're going to be responsible for his debts. You're not going to be. I mean, people that could have been, as far as the law is concerned, or those the creditors concerned, that might have been his old address. You live there now, and it's neither here nor there. I think what you should do, though, what I would do, is put him on notice. He needs to stop doing this.
In some kind of writing, right?
I'd find out his current address, send him a certified letter saying, look, you know, I appreciate our friendship, but it's becoming a burden for me. I'm worried about it. Please just
and then just start throwing stuff away, right? After you do that, you don't have to start
to return to sender.
No, you've been law frogged.
There's got to be a cooler sound.
It's a work in progress, David. It's a work in progress.
But we need the bigger audio.
Pretty soon you're gonna be plugged into that Marshall stack behind you, and you're gonna just play your way out.
It's gonna be awesome.
All right. Well, hey, Kevin. Good luck with the greasy ex friend. That's tough. And it's weird. Why they would do that? I wonder if the guy's homeless. Should ask. And if so,
why is he getting Disney books?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's just odd, right? Where's my W-2, my Disney books, and my 20% off Bed Bath Beyond?
I've got little kids. I'd love to just get random Disney books in the mail.
Sarah with an interesting one. What's your question there, Sarah, for David?
Me?
Yeah. That's you. You are Sarah, correct?
Sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I thought you were still talking to this other dude. So I have an ex fantabulous person out there who is the biological father of my children. They are minors. They'd like to change their last name to mine. We have not heard nor seen from him in years. It's been at least 5 years. There's been like one birthday call since then.
Yeah.
I have full custody. There's no way for us to get a hold of him. I don't know his current address. I don't know anything on how I would get a hold of him.
That guy's just gone.
But I had a lawyer, when I got custody, I had a lawyer write it up to where it was so close to him signing over paternal rights.
Oh, yeah.
So I have the paperwork.
Yeah, but he didn't sign it, though.
No, because, you know, judges don't want to do that. So we got it to where it was almost that, but not quite.
Wow. Yeah. And now he's gone. So what do you do?
Well, so...
close as possible.
Yeah, so the kids want to change their name. They're minors, but they're old enough to make that decision, right? I mean,
yeah, they're 13 and 12.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, that this is tough because it's hard. It's hard for family when they want to feel that sense of unity with you, with your last name. I think the trick here, and I'm not going to be able to tell you one way or the other. I think without him having his parental rights terminated, it is more of a challenge. I think oftentimes what happens in a context like this is somebody will get remarried. So a woman in your situation gets remarried, and then you and the kids all want to take the common last name.
So you get adopted by...
Right, you have to get adopted. Yeah, and you can't do that until the biological father terminates.
The guy's
rights.
Gone. I mean, is there something... I mean, I know...
Yeah, there may be a way in absentia to basically get somebody's rights terminated. And that can happen. And, listen, the law... whether it's the state, the county, there is a preference for biological parents to stay in the picture. And you have dragged these people kicking and screaming into court to do what they need to do as a biological father, as a biological mother. And I pull my hair out sometimes.
Right.
The law makes it very difficult sometimes to do this, and I don't know that it really should have to be this. But you got a deadbeat dad.
Right.
He's not around. He's been gone for 5 years.
No child support.
Yeah, nothing.
No child support whatsoever. I am getting remarried, but I'm keeping my last name because the boys want to change their name to mine.
Right.
And there will not be an adoption issue, so so that's out of the picture also. Having him adopt them.
Let me ask you this. I mean, with a little legwork, sure. I mean, do you think you could find deadbeat dad? I mean, could you really, if you had to, push come to shove, find this guy?
Well, I have his mom's phone number, but I haven't even spoke to her in years, and she's also super special. So
she
sounds
polite.
Lovely.
You're so polite, Sarah.
Fantabulous,
so
super special, a real gem,
dude. This is tough.
Oh,
thing.
Sarah,
this
exactly.
should be like once got an old trailer that was kind of abandoned. And all I had to do was tag it with the VIN, put it out there under a bond for 60 days, and if no one tagged it and said, oh, that's mine, it was mine. And I got the title for it, and I built the thing, and it should be with a deadbeat dad like this, too, especially if you're out of the picture.
I know, it's tough. Sarah,
where does she go? What's her options here, Dave?
So I think first step, try to get a hold of dad.
Okay.
But look, anymore now, it's fairly, people, it is really hard for somebody to just disappear.
No Facebook, no nothing, dude. Seriously, just his name makes me nauseous.
Answer me this, if you can, Mr. McDivitt. If, in fact, she calls mom and this fantastic person is tragically dead.
Yeah.
Is it then becomes a lot easier? Yeah. Dad's no longer with us.
Yeah, then that becomes a lot easier.
Oh, well, let's hope for that, Sarah.
Have you looked at, and I can look at this too, because I don't want to give you the wrong information. There may be some, when it comes to name change, for a minor, I mean, if you've got full, parental rights, you can show with an affidavit dad's not been around, you may be able to go and get a name change.
Sympathetic judge.
Yeah, you might be able to do it. I mean, we can look into this. I can call around for you, Sarah, and maybe try to put you in touch with somebody. But, I mean, it's worth looking at, and certainly for your kid's benefit. I mean, I wouldn't give up on this.
Right. I'll tell you what, Sarah, we'll get a phone number from you. You're off the air, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang out with us. All right, one more segment to go. Nicely played. That's always so tough, man. We get a lot of calls about deadbeat dads.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad. Dad, straighten up. Straighten up! Any other questions you got, feel free here on the Rock Lines. We have one more segment. We do have to conquer a couple of these email questions. Johnny and Eugene, I have not forgotten about you, so we'll pick that up here next. It's the Law Frog here on the Kilo Morning Show. 94.3 Kilo. Let's see here. We got Steven from Pueblo. I didn't get his question. We're still wrapping up with Sarah here. And then we'll conquer a couple of these email questions in the final segment for the Law Frog. As Dave McDivitt in from the McDivitt Law Firm. You see these guys on every bus bench in the world. I saw, what was it, in Denver? You're on the side of a train, Dave. A
lot of trains.
Dude, you're
huge. The biggest picture of me there is. And I do like big photos of me, but I mean, this is a big one.
Is it weird to see that?
Yeah. It's great.
No, it feeds that rock star ego of you, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to pick it up here in a minute with another segment. Real quick, any last words for Sarah?
Yes, Sarah, is Sarah still on?
Yeah, she's still with us.
Okay, right? Sarah, this is why one of the reasons I said, let's try to track down Dad if you can. It will make this process easier. There are JDF forms online. This is what I was talking about when we were in the commercial break there. But you go to courts.state.co.us, and you can fill out, there's a petition for the court, and you've got to give notice to the non-custodial parent, too. Like Ross was saying, if they're dead, I mean, you've got to get a death certificate. But your situation is, you think he's probably alive.
Maybe in jail.
Maybe in jail. There are some publishing ways that you can publish the notice. But ultimately, and with a deadbeat dad like this, I mean, at least with the name change, I mean, I think it's a lot easier than trying to get them.
So first thing she could do is through the website, and then if that fails, then she's probably going to need some legal guidance.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you're going to be fine without that.
Right. How long has it been since you had any contact with the guy, by the way? We didn't get numbers.
5 years since we've seen
him.
You
should be able to just turn and burn.
When we left Texas, he was already in jail. So I don't know how that's going for him. But 3 years since we've heard from him, and that was like an awkward birthday call on the wrong day.
Yeah.
Wow, that guy is a walking, talking stereotype, isn't he?
All
kinds of bad.
Yes.
Jail, deadbeat. Unbelievable. Well, hey, Sarah, good luck there, okay?
Yeah. Go online, get those forms.
Thanks for the help there. One more second to go. Steven from Pueblo, hang on. We'll take care of you next right now. You ever hear Mongolian rock, David?
Hey, all the time.
Here you go. Boom. Here it is. 94.3 Kilo, Uwe, Uwe, Uwe. That's the Mongolian Rockers, The Who, The H-U, and they are great. If you haven't heard them yet, they got another video out featuring Jacoby from Papa Roach. It's equally cool. And 8:41 here, last segment with the Log Frog. First, though, of the year, we got David in from McDivitt Law Firm every Wednesday. Every third Wednesday. Hell, at this success, let's just do it every Wednesday.
That's right. We'll be best friends, Ross.
What do you say, David? No, thank you so much for coming in.
This is great.
And being a part of this and rebirthing this. This is a huge amount. I keep on getting hit up, and this is a huge deal for a lot of people who are, obviously people are apprehensive to call a lawyer.
I just hope it's helpful for people.
Yeah. It is. Let's see here. Steven, we'll get to you off the air here in a minute. We'll get to Matt's question here in a moment. Real quick, where's Eugene? Eugene, this is an interesting one. All right, so Eugene and his wife signed up their kid for karate.
Yeah.
But then a few karate classes in, the kid's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, that's
that happens all the time, right?
To me.
The contract was for a year. They signed the contract on December 6, 2019, and the contract is mistyped. It says it expires 12/31/2019, so only a month worth of the contract, where it probably should have read 12/31/2020.
2020.
So they want to know, can he get out of it now?
I think there may be another way to get out of that contract. I would explore that first before trying to...
Just by asking?
Take that angle. I mean, look, a lot of these facilities, they understand. I mean...
Especially karate.
Oh, it's tough. I mean, I did the same thing with my kids, and they said, I went with a program. They said, this is what the price is for the first 6 weeks. After that, if your kid likes it, then, then you lock in for a period of time, and sure enough, 4 weeks into it, my kid's like, I don't want to keep doing this. But kid, you love to fight. You love to kick. You love to punch. You do it to me all the time. Now do it to somebody else, please.
It's different professionally, Dad.
Yeah, I know. So he's,
So ask first.
I would ask first. I try to get out of it another way because in a contract like that, when there is a clear mistake, I mean, it was a contract for a year. There is a typo, a date typo. That kind of stuff happens. It is a... I think you have a tough road to hoe to try to get out from underneath the contract based on that. My suggestion to folks is, especially in a contract dispute, see what you can do just face to face.
Say, hey, it's been a month.
This has been tough. Can we pay out a month or two and then get out from underneath it? Because they, you don't want to leave them high and dry. They account for this money, but a 1 year contract for children that age. It can be pretty onerous.
Right. The tastes change rather rapidly.
Yeah, they do.
Get little Jimmy a job and have him pay you back there, Dad.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Similar question here on line three. This is Matt. Bait and switch in regards to a place he rented. How big was the place supposed to be, Matt?
It's supposed to be a 6-bedroom, 2-bath. And apparently they turned the whole lower floor into a grill room.
That's all the rage now, by the way.
So you got three bedrooms in the basement, or they're growing pot in the basement, right? I mean, at some point before you took over the lease.
Right.
Okay.
But then the landlord said you could convert that grow space back into a living space, right?
and that he would bring me all the material and be able to convert it, because the fact of, you know, me and my children and an elderly lady are renting the house. So, you know, the whole agreement to us doing that was the fact of being able to convert that to a livable space and having a six-bedroom, two-bath home. You know, he, like, when I talked to him last night and let him know that the fridge went out, then he starts telling me that, oh, they're not going to spend all this money to fix this house and this, that, and the other. And it's like, wait a minute, you made a deal with me so that I can convert this back to being a six-bedroom, two-bath house. The lower floors basically kind of in a roundabout way destroyed, so it's basically three bedrooms, one bath upstairs, and totally unusable space.
Right, right, unlivable.
So he's paying for a six-bedroom, multi-bath house. He's getting a three-bedroom, one bath.
Right.
So where does it go?
But yeah, let me ask you this. When you made this agreement with landlord, do you have anything in writing? I mean, how did you memorialize his agreement that he would provide you the materials? Because that's the real issue. I mean, he's cool if you do it yourself. Your issue, your sticking point is,
you said he made a commitment.
Yeah, you'd provide me the materials to do it, right?
Right. And see, the whole thing is I would do the work to remodel it. He would take money off my rent for doing the work, and then he would provide me all the materials.
Right. Is that in the lease?
Yeah, you have that in writing?
You know, I'll have to double check and see. I don't know.
That's
that
key, though, right?
Well, that's going to be helpful, because if you've got just a uniform lease, residential lease here, and it's silent to that, then it becomes a real he said, she said. And you've got to look to what they call contemporaneous evidence of your arrangement. So did you have a text message with him? Did you have texts that you sent to your friends or something explaining
email,
what landlord?
Anything.
Yeah, something. Even if it's not with that guy, something to evidence the fact that at the time you signed the lease, you were under the impression he was going to do that. It can help you in your case. Where I'm going with this is, landlord Bob says he's not going to do it, but you and landlord communicated. You had a verbal agreement that he was going to provide this material. You turned around and texted friend Sally and said, Sally, you know, I'm going to sign the lease with Bob. He said he's going to give me the material and he'll knock this money off my rent. That at least is some evidence that at that time when you signed the lease, you were under the impression. Now, obviously, you could have been fabricating it at the time, but that's pretty, you know, that required a lot of kind of devious forethought, which most people don't assume somebody does. So, I mean, that could be helpful. But I would start by looking to see, what do you have in the lease? What kind of communications do you have with this guy where he said he's going to do this? Because that's going to be helpful.
I do have text messages where
good.
Before I moved in, I had to replace the floors in the kitchen, the floors in the bathroom, the countertop on
that's
the
a lot of work.
Kitchen scenes.
Yeah. That's regular homeowner.
You know, that kind of stuff. And I've got the text messages from him saying, hey, you need to bring me the tile. You need to bring me more tile. I ran out. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. He's got to set that up already.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, I mean, okay.
We'll collect that, I think, and then kind of tell him what you've got and see if he flinches or not, right?
Yeah.
Well, when I talked to him last night, because he pissed me off, and I kind of got in his case and told him, you know, this is the agreement between me and you. Well, I can just terminate your lease and kick you out, and you guys will have 2 weeks to find another place, and then I incur all this moving cost again.
Actually,
that
might benefit Matt when it comes down to it if he gets illegally evicted like that, right?
Well, look, at the end of the day, this is shaping up to be a bad relationship with your landlord.
Yeah, right.
And you know, if you can work out a deal where maybe he pays you back for your relocation costs, I mean, maybe at the end of the day, that's the best.
Away.
Yeah, try to do it, something like that. I mean, I know it's disruptive to your family. There's no question about that. But, I mean, you're in bed with this guy for a year if you're not careful.
Right. Legal process is not easy, is it, Dave?
No, it's not. That's why I have to go to school for so long, I guess.
Right.
I don't think they teach you what you need to know in law school. That is a known fact.
You're rock and roll lawyer.
It's a true fact, Ross, a true fact.
Third Wednesday, every month throughout the entire year, free legal advice from this guy. If you need, you can give a call to the folks over there at McDivitt. They'll guaranteed put some ears on your project for free and see if they can help you out. Throw our number for us, Dave.
719-471-3700.
Damn.
Or toll free 800-800-8543.
Man, it's like you've
called
a radio station or something like that. Awesome, dude. Pleasure to have you here, my friend. Good job.
Is that it? I got to go?
That's it.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks for all the folks who called. Steven, stick around. We're going to pick you up off the air because his was detailed, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's...
And go online. You can send us questions to the Law Fraud page online anytime at Keto943.com. We'll see you next month, Dave.
Woo-hoo!
And that's it. 8:49 headlines next to Keto.
Attention, hunters, shooters, firearms.
94.3 Kilo, that's Blur song 2, and the moment for our broken window that someone busted in earlier this morning.
R.I.P. broken window.
R.I.P., that was for you. And we're still trying to muddle through poor Steven's problems.
Yeah.
Oh, being a lawyer ain't so easy all the time, is it, David?
No, man, it's challenges, I'll tell you.
That is for sure. So, all right, that's it for the legal segment officially here today. We're going to wrap up on the phone with Steve, but next month, third Wednesday of every month, some quality time and free legal advice from the McDivitt Law Firm right here on Keto's Morning Show. Thanks again for your time, man. Good job.
Yeah,
nice job, buddy.
Well, thanks to the people called in, too, and the wrote in. This is nice.
And
nice
next,
talking to
next
you guys.
Next week, you got to wear your leather pants.
Oh,
that's the only
I
got to
find those things. They don't fit. You know, they don't fit anymore.
What?
No, they get too big. The leather expands, man. It loses. They need to be skin tight, man.
I thought you were going to go the opposite with that.
No,
No.
No. Right. My clothes can't get too tight.
They didn't shrink.
So next time, it'll be the legal leather pants advice segment. John Michaels also in leather pants because he's on his traffic stool.